Ayraysa.
Today's Amud is Sukkot Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. We're holding on Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, the second line from the bottom by the two dots. So says the Gemara, we mentioned in the Mishnah, a psul of Nikdam Reishai. So now the Gemara doesn't really go into so much this psul of Nikdam Reishai. So we'll speak out a little bit outside maybe what the Rishayim say. So Nikdam Reishai literally means that the top of the lulav is severed. So now it's a shaila in the Rishayim, if that means the top of the tiyomes or the top of all the leaves. I don't remember if we went through this before, but basically, just to give a little bit of background, so the lulav, all the leaves of the lulav are really double leaves. They all, if you take off any of the leaves of the lulav, you could unfold it, and you see it's two leaves that are attached in the back towards the shidra, towards the back of the lulav. The double leaves are attached to each other. So now the Rif and the Rambam actually say that the Tiyomes, the word Tiyomes is the name given to that connection, that point of connection between the two double leaves. So the Rif and the Rambam say that that's what's called the Tiyomes. Colloquially, that's not what we generally refer to when you go by Arba Minim, when you hear people checking Arba Minim, and they say the Tiyomes, that's not generally what they're referring to. They're generally referring to what other Rishayim learn is the Tiyomes. They say that the Tiyomes is referring to the middle leaf. On top of the Shidra, so there's generally a middle leaf that grows up on top of the Shidra, on top of the spine of the lulav, and that's what's called the tiyomes. Now, sometimes there's more than one leaf, sometimes there could be two tiyomeses, but to keep things simple, so we'll just talk about a case of a lulav with one middle leaf. So the way other Rishayim learn, not the Rif and not the Rambam, is that the tiyomes is the name for that middle leaf, and we'll go with that's the tiyomes just because that's what it's colloquially known as, that's what's called the tiyomes. So now the Rishayim argue when the Mishnah says, Nikdam Reishai, that if the top of the lulav is severed, is that talking about the top of the tiyomes, or is that talking about the tops of all the leaves, or at least the rive of the leaves of the lulav? Then we'll apply Rubai Kekulai to say that the lulav is Nikdam, because once rive of the leaves are Nikdam, so that's kekulai, that's like all the leaves. Or is this specific to the tiyomes? Lamaisa, halach lamaisa, the Rama comes out that even if it's just the tiyomes, that the psul of nikdam applies even if it's just the tiyomes, that the top of the tiyomes is severed, the top of the middle leaf. Whereas the Shulchan Aruch, so there's different ways of learning the Shulchan Aruch, some learn bedas the Shulchan Aruch, that Nikdam Reishai is only when majority of all the leaves of the lulav are Nikdam, not just the middle leaf. It has to be that majority of all the leaves of the lulav at the top is severed. So now, even though it's a Machlekes Rama and Shulchan Aruch, so typically you would think, so Ashkenazim go like the Rama, and Svaradim should go like the Shulchan Aruch, with this psul in specific, and with a lot of the psulim and Hilchas Arba Minim, so really the Paiskim point out, even the Sfardi Paiskim, they point out that even Sfardim should really be Machmir like the Rama, and that's based on the rule that even though Sfardim typically go like the Shulchan Aruch, when you're dealing with a case of Safik Brachos, so they say Safik Brachos Lahakal even against the Shulchan Aruch. Even though Sfardim go like the Shulchan Aruch, when it comes to Safik Brachos, especially the Sheet of the Rambam, is that Brach Levatol is Daraisa. So when it comes to Safik Brachos, so it's called Safik Brachos Neged Maran Amrinan. That we say Safik Brachos even against the Shulchan Aruch. And therefore, if a person's going to want to say a bracha on the Arba Minim, so he's going to have to be choishish for the sheet of the Rama, otherwise it's suffik brachas. And therefore, even Svarnim typically in Hilchas Arba Minim are always going to have to be machmir like the Rama. So therefore, it's going to come out halacha lamaisa lamaisa, is that when a person's buying Arba Minim, Nikdam Reisha is referring to just the middle leaf, even just to the tiyomes. If it's Nikdam, if it's severed at the top, so then that's going to be puzzle. Now, it's a I learned the Rishayim exactly how much does it have to be severed. Is it only if the whole leaf is severed, rive of the leaf is severed? Is it even if just the top of the leaf is severed, even just the mashu, even just the kol shuhu? So that, Emir Tzashem will discuss in the Reisa Lahalacha sheet at the end of the week. But that's the psul of Nikdam Reishai. Nikdam Reishai is when the top of the tiyomes is cut off a little bit at the top. That's the psul of Nikdam Reishai. So now says the Gemara, Amar Rav Huna, Rav Huna said that Loishanu Ela Nikdam, that this psul is specifically if the top is nikdam, if it's completely cut off. Aval nistak kosher. However, if the simple way of understanding nistak at least, which we'll have to come back to once we see the Gemara on Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, but the simple way of understanding nistak is that nistak means that the top of the lulav is nistak. There's a gap in it. The tchaimis is split a little bit. So if the tchaimis is split, so now there's a sedek, there's a crack inside of it. It's split. We said each leaf of the lulav is really a double leaf. So nistak of a nistak kosher. But if it's nistak, if it's cut off at the top of the tchaimis, so then that's going to be possible. But if it's nistak, if it's just split, so then says Rav Huna, if it's nistak, then the lulav is kosher. Even if there's a little split in the tchaimis, still the lulav is going to be kosher. Correct the Gemara, is that really true? The nistak kosher, is that really true if the tchaimis is split? So the lulav is kosher. Vatanya, but we learned in the Braisa. Now this Braisa is going to list many cases. We'll read it quickly and then we'll come back to just to explain the cases. But Vatani, we learned in the Braisa, how could you tell me Nistak is kosher? The Braisa says, Lulav Kafav Kavut Saduk Akum Doimilamagal is possible. It says if you have a Lulav which is Kafav for Kavut or Saduk, that's the main reason why we're bringing this Braisa. The Braisa says straight out if the Lulav is Saduk or if it's Akum Doimilamagal, again, we'll come back to explain these cases. But the point is that it says if it's Saduk, so the Lacha is that the Lulav is possible. If the Tiamis is split, if it's split at the top, so then it's puzzle. And then the Braisa continues, Charus is puzzle, Daimel Charus is kosher. Again, we'll come back and explain it. But the point is that we have a cash on Rav Huna. Rav Huna said that if it's Nistak, the halacha is that the lulav is kosher. But here we have a Braisa, which seems to say Lehedya, that if the lulav is Nistak, if it's Saduk, so then the lulav is puzzle. So says the Gemara, Amar of Papa, the Ovid Kehimnak. When the Braisa says that the lulav, which has a split, is pasul, it's talking about a specific type of split. It's talking about the Ovid Kehimnak, which means it's not just that it's split, but actually at the top where the split is, the lulav, the tiaimes, forms like a Y shape. And instead of the split just being there in the two sides of the leaf, just continuing straight upwards, the two sides of the leaf by the split, the two sides of the tiaimes, they split outwards, and they form like the letter Y. In such a case, so then nistak is pasul. Rav Huna was talking about a typical nistak where there's a split, but the leaves continue to go straight up, and there's just as a little split. So in such a case, the lulav is kosher. The Braisa, which speaks about saduk and says that it's pasul, so that's talking about a specific type of saduk. That's talking about saduk that it forms like a Y shape, that the two sides go outwards. So now we'll go back just to explain the other cases of the Braisa. So the Braisa mentioned that lulav kafuf is pasul. It mentioned two, kafuf and akum. It mentioned two different types of things which are really very similar in their, they sound very similar. Lulav kafuf means it's bent, and akum daima lamagol, if it's bent and it's shaped like a sickle, it's like rounded. So both of those cases, the Braisa said that the lulav is pasul. So now both of them mean that the lulav is bent. The Rishonim explain that they're talking about two different things, though. Obviously, it's two different cases. They explain that the difference is that kafuf is when it's the top of the lulav which is bent over, whereas akum is when the entire lulav, even the shidra, the whole lulav is curved. Maybe that's in English the best way to explain the difference. That kafuf is when it's bent, and akum is when the whole lulav is curved. It's shaped like a banana, like a sickle. So in both of those cases, the halacha is that the lulav is pasul. Now when it comes to akum, so the Braisa says straight out that it's only if it's akum that's daime lamagol. It has to be that it's very akum. It has to be that it's very rounded. It has to be that it's like a sickle, meaning like we explained, maybe perhaps like a banana, that would be the best way we could picture it. So then, in such a case, the lulav is pasul. Rab Shmuel Kamenetsky, I saw in Kibbutz Halachos in Perek Chaf Hei Halacha Beis, he says he gives a shear of 90 degrees, and if that's the shear of the bend, so then the halacha is that the lulav is pasul. Now, still, even though it's only if it's mamish daima lamagul that's when the lulav is pasul, the chida in Machzik Bracha in Simin Tafrei Shmem Hei and Sifka and Dalid, as well as the Mata Ephraim and Elef Amagain and Simin Tafrei Shmem Hei Sifka and Dalid, they both say that even though it's only pasul if it's mamish curved, they still say that there's a hiddur to take a lulav which is perfectly straight and it's not even curved at all. Again, not that it's going to be pasul if it's a little bit curved. It's only going to be pasul if it's mamish, if it's daime lamagol. So it's not going to be pasul, but they say that there's still a hiddur in getting a lulav and finding a lulav which is perfectly straight, which is something that Rav Sternbach and others bring that the Briska Rav is very makbid about. He held that this was an important hiddur, that the lulav should be perfectly straight. I saw Rav Shmuel Felder in Shiuri Halacha on page Reish Ayin Tes. He brings that this is the Minhag HaOlam, is to look for a lulav which is perfectly straight. An interesting lashon in Halicha Shlomo and Perek Yud on Halacha Ches. So they bring on the bottom that Rav Shlomo Zalman was very makbit to get a lulav which is perfectly straight. And they even say the hichshiv maila zul leikur gadol behidurei halulav, that he considered this hiddur to be one of the ikur hidurim when it comes to hilchos lulav. He considered this to get a perfectly straight lulav to be one of the most important hidurim to look for when you're looking for a lulav, is that it should be perfectly straight. It's interesting though, I saw in a different sefer which came out actually relatively recently called Kuntres HaZichronis. It's a very interesting sefer. It came out recently, but it was actually written a long time ago. It was written by Rav Chaim Kanievsky. Rav Chaim Kanievsky started writing this sefer right after the Chazan Ish was nifter. Right when the Chazan Ish was nifter, so the stipler, Rav Chaim's father, told him that he should write down the different practices, the different anhagos of the Chazan Ish. Everyone's going to be saying different things. He put it on his son, he put it on Rav Chaim, to write down the different anhagos of the Chazan Ish. So he wrote them over, and then throughout the years, his son put out the sefer, Rav Yitzchak Shaul Kanievsky, and he writes in the Hakdama that throughout the years of Chaim, he mamish treasured this kuntres that he wrote, and throughout the years, since he started writing it, he kept adding to it, subtracting from it, going over it, writing it over again. He says he wrote it over and over again 3 times. Besides the adding and subtracting, he completely rewrote the sefer 3 times. This is the 3rd Mahadura that came out recently. And he brings in the Hagdama that Rav Chaim treasured the sefer tremendously. At the same time, he was very scared to publish it. He was very scared to publish a sefer that's teaching halacha, so to speak, based off of things that he saw on someone else. It's one thing if you learn a sugya and you come out a certain way, so you could take a chrayis for yourself. But to take a chrayis on piske halacha that he saw by the Chazan Ish, when there could have been all different types of factors. It could have been that the Chazan Ish did a certain thing for all different reasons. And therefore, he was very scared to really publish it. And he, Taka, never really let anyone look at the sefer. He kept it locked up in his house somewhere. He mamish kept it locked up. At times when someone would ask him a shayla and he wanted to look something up, so he says he would take the key, open up the closet that he stored it, take it out, look at it, quickly put it back in, lock it up and hide the key. He mamish kept this top secret. And Rav Yitzchak Shaul writes that he told him, he explained to him why he was scared to publish it. He said he didn't want to take a chrayis, but he told Rav Yitzchak Shaul, "Of a masha ata tasa achrei may of the esrim shali, what you do after my 120, so that in hachrayis alai, that I don't feel that I'm a chray for. What you do with it afterwards, that's not my responsibility." So Rav Yitzchak Shaul writes that he took that as kilu leka tzava for him to publish the sefer, and that's what he did recently. He published the sefer Kuntres HaZichronos, which is memories of that the Rav Chaim had of the Chazan Ish, things that he saw by the Chazan Ish. Anyway, so in this sefer, in Simen Lamed Aleph, Sif Chaf Aleph, in Hilchos Lulav, so he writes that the Chazan Ish was not makbid about this at all. He was not makbid at all that the lulav should be straight, and he tainet, Va'amar Kimagul Shaninu, the Braisa says it's only a problem if it's Kimagul. What's the makar that there's a hiddur that should have to be perfectly straight? The Chida brings it, the Mata Ephraim brings it, but he didn't consider, I guess, that to be considered a makar, and therefore he was not makbid about this at all. Although most are makbid, Rav Chaim brings that the Chazan Ish was not makbid about that it should be perfectly straight. Anyway, so that's when it comes to Akum. That's what it means, Akum Daimin Lamagal. When it comes to Kafuf, so we said that Kafuf is referring to just that the top of the lulav is bent over. So now, the Lashon of Rashi on Lamed Aleph and Mabez is that Kafuf is Reisha Kafuf Ka'agmain Daimis Leish Gabon Vahazokin Shereishayan Shachin V'Kfufin Lamata. It has to be Mamish bent over. Ka'agmain is like a fish hook. The Lashon of the Chazanish that Rav Chaim over there brings and Kutcher's Hazichrones is that it has to be that it's more daimet to like the letter Ches, not like the letter Resh. If it's just like the letter Resh, where it's just bent over at the top, that's not called Kafuf, that would be completely kosher. Kafuf means that it's like a fish hook, which means it's like the letter Ches. It doesn't just bend, it actually bends over and then goes down. That's what's considered Kafuf. Now the Shaila is, where is the Psul of Kafuf? Is Kafuf in the Shidra? Is it in the spine of the Lulav? Or is it even by the leaves of the lulav? So that's a big machlekes rishonim. The Ran held that even if it's just the top of the leaf that's bent over, so the Ran held that that's considered kafuf, and even if it's just slightly bent at the top, he held that that's already going to be considered considered pasul. Whereas the Rush mamish had the exact opposite chita. The Rush is in Chuvas in Klal Chof Dalet in Ois Yud. The Rush writes mamish the opposite. First of all, in terms of the halacha, he says that Kafuf is talking about the Shidra. It's only if the Shidra is bent over, that's then what's considered Kafuf. And more than that, the Rosh says that he bedafka looks for a lulav that the top of the leaves is Kafuf. He dafka likes when the top of the leaf is Kafuf. And the reason for that is because then when the top of the lulav is bent over a little bit by the leaf, by the top of the leaf, so then you could be much more certain that the leaves are all perfectly closed up, which we'll talk about more in the Hemshech of the Gemara, that there's a psul of nechleka tiyamis, when the tiyamis is split. We'll see what the difference between that and nistak is, but there's such a psul of when the tiyamis is split. So says the Rosh, he bedavka looked for a lulav that was kafuf at the top. This is what's typically known as a lulav with a knapple or a kaftor, different lashonos. But that's what the Rosh he looked for such a lulav. Lemaisa halach lemaisa the psak of the Shulchan Aruch in Simon Tafresh Mem Hey Sif Tes is like the Rosh. He paskins, the Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Rosh, that Kafuf is only when the Shidra is bent, not when the top of the leaf is bent. And the Mishnah Brura over there in Sifkat and Membez, he brings from the Ramah that that's Taka the Minog, that the Minog is really like the Rosh. He doesn't say that the Minog is Dafka to look for a Lulav with a Knapple, but he does say that the Minog is like the Rosh, that we only consider Kafuf to be a Psul when the Shidra is Kafuf, when the spine is Kafuf, not when the leaf is Kafuf. However, in Sharetzion, so in Shari Tzion, the Mishnah Brura over there brings, he points to the Shari Tshuva, where the Shari Tshuva brings from the Bach, the Eliyarabba, the Yaivitz, who all say that one should be machmer for the Ran. They say that one should be machmer for the Ran, that even if just the top of the leaf is bent over, so then the lulav is pasul because that's considered kafuf. So it comes out a very interesting thing. According to the Ran, when the top of the leaf is kafuf, it's mamish pasul. And the Rosh, but Dafka looked for such a lulav. And so Lamaisa, the Mishnah Brura seems to be saying that really one should be machmer like the Ran, that one should be machmer like the Ran, not to take a lulav with a knapple. There are some that have the minhag to take a lulav with a knapple, but according to the Mishnah Brura, it comes out really that one should be machmir not to take such a lulav. And again, Rav Chaim Kanievsky in this Kuntras HaZichronais in Perek Lamed Aleph in the Halacha Chaf Beis, so he writes that the Chazanish was chayshish for both shitas. With regards to the bracha, he was chayshish for the Ran, and so for the bracha, he took a lulav that did not have a knapple. He dafko looked for a lulav that was not bent at top. On the top to be choishish for the Ran, but then afterwards he also had a lulav with a knepel to be choishish for this practice of the Rosh to dafka take such a lulav, because then it's more certain that the whole lulav is very closed. So that's kafuf. So now just explaining just the next case of the Braisa. So kafuf we just explained. Kavutz is when there's like thorn-like protrusions in the lulav. So that's pasul. All these are pasul, the Levush says, because it's not hadar. So it's if it has these thorn-like protrusions, so then that's not hadar. Saduk, we already explained. That's when the top of the tiyamis is split. Akum daima lamago, we just explained. That's when the whole lulav is curved. So all those are pasul. Charus is also pasul. Charus is when the lulav gets, the leaves branch outwards, and they branch outwards, and it gets very hard, then now you can't even tie it back together. The person who was in charge of cutting the lulavim off the tree forgot, and by the time he realized, the branches all branched outwards, so now they hardened even. You can't even tie them together to make it all one, to make it all together, and therefore such a lulav is puzzle. However, if it's daimel charus, if it's just like charus, it's a little bit hard, but lemaisa you could tie it all together and all the leaves will come together as one, so then that the braisa says is kosher. So those are all the cases of the braisa. Now weiter in the Gemara. So we mentioned in the braisa akum daimel lemagol. So on the third line of the Gemara now. We said in the braisa akum daimel lemagol is pasul. That if the whole lulav is curved, it's like a sickle, so then the lulav is pasul. Amar Rava. Rava qualified that halacha, and he said that loy amaron elo lefanov. This psul of akum, when the whole lulav is curved, it's only if it's curved in a forward direction. The back of the lulav is the side with the shidra. That's the part that a person holds in front of him. He's supposed to be looking at the shidra when he's holding it in front of him. So when it's facing forward, meaning again, when it's bent, when it's curved forwards, meaning again, the opposite direction of the shidra. So that's what it means when the braisa says akum daima lamagul is pasul. Dafka if it's curved in that direction. Avala acharav, but if it's curved backwards towards the person holding it, so that's biryasahu, that's the way a lulav sometimes looks, so that's not a psul, that doesn't make it, that it's not hadar, that's a very typical look for a lulav. Rav Nachman said, that letzadin kilafanav dami. He said that what about if it's curved to the side? So forwards is possible. Backwards, it's fine. We left out a case. What about if it's curved to the side? Rav Nachman said, if it's curved to the side, so that's like a case where it's curved going forwards, and the lulav is going to be possible. Va'amrila kilacharav. Some say that what Rav Nachman said is that really if it's curved to the side, so then it has the din of curved la'acharav, backwards, towards the shidra, towards the person holding it, in which case it's kosher. Va'amar Rava, period. So those are the two tzadim. Now, va'amar Rava, a new halacha, Rava said that hailu lava the salik bechad chutzah, if let's say you have a lulav, so literally the words means that it goes up to one leaf. So says Rava, balmum hu pasul. That's considered a balmum and it's pasul. Rashi learns that bechad hutza means that typically a lulav has the shidra in the middle, and there are leaves that grow on both sides of the shidra. Bechad hutza means that in this lulav, there are only leaves on one side of the shidra. So that's a balmum, and that's going to be possible. The Ritva learns, probably more truer to the pshat of the words, bechad hutza, that's one leaf, he learns that it means that instead of the leaves of the lulav being all doubled, like they typically are, this lulav is a lulav which only has, they don't have double leaves. The whole lulav is comprised of leaves that are just single leaves. It's salik bechad hutza, it's just one leaf. It's a lulav with one leaf leaves, and such a lulav is considered a balmum, and it's gonna be pasul. Nifritzu alav, we mentioned in the Mishnah that if the leaves are all cracked off, so then even if you tie it together, it's possible. Amra papa, nifritzu means the avid kichufya. You make it like a broom, which again it means that all the leaves are off, you tie it all together, such a lulav is possible. However, nifridu, which the Mishnah says is kosher, if the leaves are nifridu, that's talking about the ipurit ipurie. That's talking about where they just branch outwards, but they're still attached. So being that they're still attached, even though they branched outwards, as long as you could tie it together and bring it all together, it's not like charus where it's mamish hard and you can't bring it together. Here you could bring it together, so therefore the lulav is going to be kosher. Bayira papa. Now says the Gemara, or papa had a shayla, the nechuka atyoymes mahu. What's the halacha if the tyoymes is split? So this is the big kasha, because before we said already that nistak is kosher. We said that if the tyoymes is split, that's how we touched up nistak, that if the tyoymes is split, if there's a split in it, so it's kosher. Here a papa has a shayla, nechuka atyoymes mahu. What's the din if the tyoymes has a split? So we'll just see the Gemara and then we'll explain what the difference between this and nistak is. So this was a papa's shayla. What's the din if the tyoymes is split? And says the Gemara Tashima, I'll bring you a raya regarding what the din is in such a case. The Amar Rav Yechanan, the Rav Yechanan said that Amar Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Rabbi Shua ben Levi had said that nitla hatiyames is possible. He said that if the tiyames is completely cut off the lulav, so then it's completely taken away, so then the lulav is possible. So the Gemara wants to make a diak. My lav hua din nechlika. Maybe l'chayra, just like nitla hatiyames is a psul, so l'chayra hua din if it's split. It's the same idea. It's something bad happened to it. Says the Gemara, loy no, nitla shani. Maybe it's only if it's mamish off, d'hachasrle, because it's, then it's mamish missing it, that maybe would be possible, but maybe nechlika is going to really be kosher. So Ika Damri, some say that this is the way the proof went, that Amar Rabbi Yochanan, or some have the Gersa of Masun, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, the Nechluka Tioimes, Nasa Kemisha Nitla Tioimes Upasol, that the memory of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi was directly about the case of Nechluka. The Nechluka Tioimes, if the Tioimes is split, so the halacha is that's like a din, that's like a lulav, where the Tioimes was completely removed, and the halacha by Nechluka is going to be Pasol. So now we really have a kasha. Before we said Nistak, that the tiyames is split and it's kosher. Here we have nechlika hatiyames, and the Gemara's maskana is that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said that nechlika hatiyames is puzzle. So how could that be? What's the pshat? What's the difference between nistak and nechlika? So this is an issue that many of the Rishonim deal with, and it's really telling how you learn nechlika. Most Rishonim learn that when Rav Papa asked about nechlika hatiyames, that if the tiyames is split, what's the halacha? He was discussing tiyames, which was mamish split all the way down to the shidra, or at least rive, because ruvay kekulay. But in essence, he was talking about a lulav that the tiyames was split all the way down to the shidra. So now, if you learn that nechlika hatiyames is talking about a very large split like that, so then it's not so shver what's the difference between nechlika and istak, even if nechlika is rive. But still, it's not shver what the difference between nechlika and nistak is. The difference is how large is the split? Nechlika is talking about when the tioimis is split, let's say rubai kekulai, it's split most of the way down. The split goes from the top and it goes most of the way down. Nistak, that we said is kosher, that's talking about where it just has a small split, that's kosher. It's only if the split then takes on the form of the letter Y, they go outwards, so then that's already a hemnik, that's already going to be pasul. But otherwise, such a small split is kosher. Nechlika is talking about when there's a very large split. When there's a very large split, so then that's already going to be pasul. That's how most Rishonim learn. There is the sheet of the Ritva. The Ritva learns, and the Ran as well, that Nechlika is, even if it's just a little bit split. That nechlika is, even if it's just mamish a little bit split, so they say that that's already included in nechlika and it's pasul. So they ask, so how could the Gemara say before, Rav Huna said that nikdam, that nistak is kosher? And they say that it must be that nistak is referring to that there's a cut, but it's not on the, there's a split, it's not on the top of the tiyames, it's somewhere on the side of the tiyames, somewhere down the leaf, somewhere on the side, there's some sort of split. It's not obviously all the way through across the tiyames, then the tiyames would be a nikdam, it would be cut off, but there's at some point of the tiyames, there's a little bit of a cut, there's a little bit of a split. But nechlika is when the top of the tiyames is split, and they say that even if it's just a little bit split, that's going to be a problem. Lemaisa, again, the Shulchan Aruch paskins that nechlika tiyames is going on all the leaves of the lulav. It's not talking about specifically the middle leaf, because he learns like the Rif and the Rambam, that the tiyames is not specifically talking about the middle leaf, but the Rama learns that nechlika tiyames is a discussion specifically regarding the middle leaf, and like I said before, that's how everyone's going to have to be naig just because of Safik Brachlis Lahakal. So now, nechlika tiyames is going specifically on the middle leaf, and Lemaisa, the Rama paskins, he says that the minig is like Rashi. He brings the other Rishonim bring from a Rashi, that the minig is like Rashi, that nechlika tiyames is only if the split goes all the way down to the shidra. Or the Gain says rubai kekulai, if it goes most of the way down, that's going to be the psul of nechlika. So halach lemaisa, nistak we could consider if there's just a little bit of a split, that would be fine. And nechlika is if there's a large split that goes down, rive of the way down the tiyames, so then that's already pasul, that's that's already considered nechlaka tiyomes. However, the Rama adds that there's a mitzvah min amuvchar to find the lulav with a tiyomes that's not even a little bit split, to be choishesh for the ritva. And there's a mitzvah min amuvchar to be choishesh for the ritva, to find the tiyomes, to find the lulav with a tiyomes that's not even a little bit split. Which most achrayim learn means kepshutai, that it doesn't even have a tiny bit of a split, and that's why many people look for a lulavim that are mamish closed. Now we can understand better the chumrah of the Rush. The Rush is machmir. He wanted to specifically look for a lulav with a knepel because the ikar lahalacha is that, at least as the mitzvah min amuvchar, to look for a lulav that's not even a little bit split. So that's why some people look for the lulav with the knepel. Anyway, says the Gemara Vayter now. Rabbi Yehuda Aimer, so we mentioned in the Mishnah that the Tanakama holds that when it comes to Nifridu, if the leaves are a little bit branched out, so they're still attached, but it's branched out in a way that you could tie it together. The Tanakama says it's completely kosher, you don't even have to tie it together. Rabbi Yehuda said you have to tie it together. So Tani, we learned in the Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda Aimer, Mishum Rabbi Tarfun, that you have to tie it together because Kapais Tamarim, the Pasuk says Kapais Tamarim, we mentioned this already earlier in the Gemara, and Kafus, so he learns from there that it has to be tied, that the Mahayyah that if it becomes spreads out, so you have to tie it all together to make it that it's all together in one. So that's the makar for Rabbi Yehuda. Now the Gemara says on a different note, we've been talking this whole time about a lulav. Well, what is a lulav? Amar le Ravina le Ravashi, mimai the high kapis tamarim de lulavahu. The Torah, when it describes the arba minim, so it says that you should take on the first day of Sukkot a pre-eitz hadar v'kapis tamarim. Who says the kapis tamarim is a lulav? How do you know that the kapis tamarim is a lulav? Ema charusa. Maybe it's charusa. Maybe it's when you have that the leaves are all out and they're very hard and you can't tie it together. That we mentioned before, charus. Maybe that's what the lulav is. Says the Gemara. Meaning we know it's something to do with a date tree, because it says kapis tamarim. But who says it's the lulav that we have? Maybe it's dafka supposed to be charus. Says the Gemara, be'ina kafus v'leka. No, it can't be that charusa is what the Torah is describing, because it has to be kapis tamarim. It has to be something which could be tied together, and a charusa can't be tied together. Okay, well, says the Gemara, ve'ema ufta. Maybe it's referring to ufta, the place where you cut off the lulav from, so the rest of that branch, or that's maybe it's the trunk of the tree, so that part of the tree, so it's all one solid piece, so you don't want it to be that the pieces are all jutting outwards. Okay, fine, so maybe it's ufta, where it's all one solid piece. Says the Gemara, no. Kafus mechlal de'ika parut. No, because from the fact that the Torah says you have to take kapis tamarim, so it's mashma that it's shayich for it to not be kafus. It's saying that you should take what type of thing should you take? Something which is all together. Mashma, it's the type of thing that could exist when it's not together. So it can't be talking about this ufta, which by nature is just one solid piece. V'hai kapus v'ayimi lo'aylam. That's what the Gemara says. This ufta is kapus v'ayimi lo'aylam. It's always just in one piece, and you can never have it that it's parud. So therefore, that's how we know that that's not what the Torah is talking about. Says the Gemara ve'ema kufra. Okay, so maybe it's talking about kufra, which is similar to charusa, but it's not so hard. You could still tie it all together. So maybe that's what the Torah is referring to. Says the Gemara, Amar Abaye, no, we know that that's not what the Torah is referring to, because derecha darchinayam v'chol nesiva yisea shalom. The ways of the Torah is supposed to be pleasant. This thing has thorns on it, so it would hurt your hands when you're holding it. So that's how we know that that's not what the Torah is referring to. Now, it's important to point out that the Rambam in his Akdama to Pirsha HaMishnayis writes that it's not the pshat that the Gemara is really having a suffix over here. That kilu, oh, how do we know what a lulav is? And we're trying to figure out from the pasuk what a lulav is. Avada, the way we know what a lulav is because we have a Mesaira called a Halach L'Maisha Misinai. We have a Halach L'Maisha Misinai that a lulav is that Kapis Tamarim is referring to. The lulav that we have, that's always what it's been throughout all the generations. So we have a Mesaira that's what it is. We're not learning it from the pasuk. What the Gemara over here is trying to do is just coming to show us where in the Torah how you could even see it in the Pasuk working backwards. But not that this is actually the Makar. And Rav Eliashiv in his Ha'aretz writes that that's why the Gemara could say, use Derechei HaDachinayim as a raya that it's not Kufra. He says normally we wouldn't use that as a raya, that that's not what the Torah is referring to. But being that really we're just working backwards, so we can understand why that's not what the Torah is referring to, because Derechei HaDachinayim. Amar le Rava Teisva l'Ravina. Rava Teisva asked Ravina that we're not done over here. Still, there's another option. Ve'ema tarte kape de tamri. Maybe it's referring to two date clusters. Maybe when the Torah says kape is tamarim, so kape is mashma, it's two kafs, so kape tamari is date clusters, so maybe two date clusters is the most true to the pshat of the words kape is tamarim. Two kaf tamarim. Two date clusters. Maybe that's what the Torah is referring to. Says the Gemara, no, because kapasksev. When the Torah says kapas tamarim, it's written without a vav. So it's mashma, it's something that's plural but singular. It's mashma, it's supposed to be one thing. It's not supposed to be two date clusters. It's supposed to be one entity, one lulav. And that's what we learn now from the fact that the Torah says kapas with a chaser without the vav. Okay, well, says the Gemara, if it's just kapas tamarim, ve'im achado. So maybe it's just one date cluster. Maybe the Torah, when it says kapas tamarim, kapa is tamarim, but it's written kapas tamarim. So maybe the Torah means that for that min, you're supposed to take a date cluster. Says the Gemara, no, because one date cluster, lahu kaf karile. That's not called kapas, that's called kaf. So therefore, that can't be what the Torah is referring to. Rather, when the Torah says, Kapis Tamarim, it's referring to the Lulav.